The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Monday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, the DraftKings Network. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, live from Bar Canada at the D, where this segment is presented by 1-800-Flowers.com, DraftKings official flowers. For Valentine's, it's VSiN Super Week, the week leading to Super Bowl 58. How you doing, man?
Doing well, man. Let's go. Pumped.
Pumped.
Ready to go. Ready to play this game already.
We have bets that we've already made. We got bets that we did make this weekend. We're going to get into all of them. We're talking about prop bets here as well. Before we do that, and let you know on this show, the big headliner on this show today, Rufus Peabody will join us here at the D at Bar Canada. For those who don't know, Rufus, half of the Bet the Process podcast with Jeff Ma. He's half the Massey Peabody analytics team. But what he is most known for is really this week, quite frankly, these 2 weeks leading up to Super Bowls, where he made a name for himself betting props with his betting group. And so Rufus joins us for a few segments later on the show. Looking forward to that. Catching up with him, see what he's bet, see if I can pull teeth, get that out of him, and we'll go from there. First, though, we had a situation in golf this weekend where they decided, yeah, we're not going to play the fourth round of this thing. And so Wes Reynolds cashes an 80-1 ticket.
He does. Yes, he cashed 80-1. Talked about it on Long Shots. Did have Wyndham Clark. He is your winner for the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am. Golf did not get played yesterday. Did not get made up with today. Hopefully everybody in the area is safe. I mean, those massive rains and flooding going on and everything there, and that was, I think, a smart decision to end up canceling this final round. So, yeah, Wyndham Clark gets home. This is always one of those betting situations that if you're betting on it, check your house rules if you had bets going on. I know I have one that even personally that's still kind of pending that I'm waiting to figure out what a book is dealing with or doing with. But, you know, 72 or you get 54 holes completed, it will be counted as a full PGA Tour event. Wyndham Clark gets all the money, although everything that a normal winner would get for the situation. As far as your bets, though, if you made anything post round three, that likely will not get counted. If it does, you're lucky. If you made any bets during round three or prior, most of those at most books should be graded as if this was a completed event with your bet completed. But if there's anything outstanding, I know I've got one that I'll be following up on today. So check your house rules.
Yeah, I know here at Circa, winner is a winner.
Yep.
Declared. And Wes Reynolds, 80-1. Good that he found the time to cash an 80-1 while he was watching the Grammys last night, which
that's right.
For those of us into that kind of thing, was quite the event last night.
And Gil, what I'm talking about with mine, I'm sure there are other people out there. Like, I bet Wyndham Clark live when he had finished his third round play and there were still some guys on the course. So kind of interested to see how that's going to be graded.
All right. Super Bowl 58. It remains San Francisco 49ers favored by 2 points with a total at 47.5. With a week left or 6 days now till Super Bowl 58 kicks off here at Allegiant Stadium in Oakland. Feels like it's sort of settling in at two, but you never know between now and game time. So I have, and I'll start with mine here, Kelly. We'll get to yours here as well. Prior to this moment, I have the Niners to beat the Chiefs in one of my only remaining exacta, 49ers to beat the Chiefs at 11-1. So trying to cash that. Have three MVP bets on Christian McCaffrey at 6-1. These were placed prior to the championship games. Christian McCaffrey at 6-1, Debo at 40-1, George Kittle at 80-1. Never in doubt that those were alive, as the Niners survived the Lions on Championship Sunday. Now, I did make three prop bets. Would you like to hear them?
Yeah.
Here we go.
I added some too this week.
Yeah. Here's the problem. When you have 2 weeks before a game and you're like, I'm not going to have that much, I don't know that I'll bet anything else, quite frankly.
Well, you know, and if you're like me, there was NBA. There wasn't even golf yesterday. I watched more LIV golf yesterday than I've ever watched of any LIV event in its history.
Was exactly my experience, that so, there was tennis bets all through Saturday, and then yesterday morning in Asia and in Europe, finals, I only had a bet on one of them. So I had all day. What else are you going to do?
Plenty of time to make bets, Gil. Plenty of time.
I should probably look through the props. So I ended up betting this one. And by the way, Adam Burke will join us a little later on, as will JVT. But Adam Burke culled together every VSiN host's prop bets, or their favorite single prop bet. And they put them on the website at VSiN.com. We'll talk to Adam about it later. He'll tell you everything that we have to offer on the website. I went with Christian McCaffrey, most receiving plus rushing yards. This is available at the likes of a DraftKings and beyond. Now, it's minus 160. I know there's a lot of people who are like, I don't want to lay minus 160 on anything. Well, value is value to me. I'm going minus 160. Now, that's receiving plus rushing yards. It's not receiving specifically or rushing specifically. And the reason that I decided to go that way is that I don't want to have to deal with Isaiah Pacheco eclipsing him in this game on the rushing side of things. And I don't want some rando Niners wide receiver, be it Debo, be it Ayuk, be it Kittle, whomever, to eclipse him on the receiving side. Notice that I didn't mention a Chief, because I don't think that'll happen on that side. Despite the fact that the Kansas City corners are great, just one of those guys could burst out. But receiving plus rushing yards, if you do a little, you know, the old small sample size analysis on this, his last eight games, so we're talking the two postseason games the Niners played, not week 18 because McCaffrey sat that one out, in the previous six games, McCaffrey has gotten the most receiving plus rushing yards. You're basically talking about a half season worth, if you will, of a regular season in football. He's done it six out of the eight times. So I want McCaffrey receiving plus rushing yards at minus 160. Let's go to the bottom one. Will the opening kickoff be a touchback? This is one that we have looked at year after year after year. And listen, is this? Do I like this one as much as the minus 160? Well, I do, in the sense that it's plus 265. But here's the play on this. Will the opening kickoff be a touchback? Plus 265. We touched upon this briefly, if you were listening to a numbers game last week. Touched upon the numbers briefly. I will review them here. Harrison Butker of the Chiefs, 83.3% of his kickoffs have been touchbacks this year. But in the case of Jake Moody, only 62.39% of his have resulted in touchbacks. That's 25th out of 32 in the National Football League this week. This year. By the way, if you look at specific environments for Jake Moody, the three most antiseptic environments, we're talking about SoFi against the Rams, U.S. Bank against the Vikings, State Farm Stadium at Arizona. Two of those three did not result in a touchback. So the pristine conditions don't appear to help him necessarily either. And by the way, last week, 58 yards to start the game versus Green Bay, if you want the most recent outcome on it. But when you look at the actual probabilities and then the numbers offered, are you getting exactly what you should be getting? No. By the way, if you bet the minus 360 on the yes, you're really not getting the bang for your buck, because it's really you're getting priced at about 78.26% on the touchback, when it should be around just shy of 73%. The plus 265 is just a tick below what you ought to be getting for this. So I'm betting it plus 265 with the hope, obviously there's a lot of luck involved, and this is the ultimate luck with the coin flip. If it's Butker kicking off, probably not going to be a winner. But if it's Moody, we're in play.
This is always one.
And they're both deferring teams.
It's always one of my favorite prop bets just to track every year, because this is, it always reminds me of the college basketball try hard kid at the end of the Sweet 16 game, where it's the Super Bowl. If that ball doesn't sail out of the back of the end zone, if you are receiving that kick anywhere in the field of play or in the end zone, the mindset for you to wave your hand, take a knee, whatever, and let it be a touchback instead of trying to have your Super Bowl moment, I always find to be such a mental fascination of watching those guys want to take it out of the end zone.
Yeah, and I, also it's the other side that people always like to sort of, give opinions about, is the mindset for the kicker itself, like nerves, right?
Yeah.
You are kicking off the Super Bowl. If you're Jake Moody and you're a rookie, do you just clunk it and it only lands at it gets to the 15-yard line, for God's sake. I don't know.
There's also that too. Yeah,
but anyway,
absolutely.
That's the bet. It's not as listen, is the most well thought out bet in the world? Are you guaranteed to win it? No, but we're certainly in a good position if it is Moody as opposed to Butker. And then the third one, I did take Patrick Mahomes over rushing yards.
No, I get
at 26 and a half. That's minus 110. And yeah, I mean, we can look at it both ways. One, the Niners defense, just looking at a few of their quarterbacks, three of the last four regular season games, Wentz had 56, Lamar had 45, Murray had 49. But obviously, I'm picking and choosing my numbers there. Really, it's about Mahomes himself, who, if you go back 15 postseason games, think about this guy's career, that you can go back 15 postseason games and it's still not his entire postseason career. So you throw out like the first
that
year.
That is ridiculous. You're right.
You throw out the first year that he was in the postseason. The last 15 postseason games, he's averaged 29.27 rushing yards. So a few yards higher than what the number is set at 26 and a half. If you go to his three Super Bowls, if that interests you, he averages 35.33 rushing yards per Super Bowl. And again, what's the thinking there? It's like, you know, the ultimate small sample size. But the thinking being that when Patrick Mahomes is on the big stage in these the biggest of moments, that he is not shy about tucking it under when the opportunity presents itself. And we've seen in this postseason that he has been able to really pinpoint, oh, the field is open. This is my moment to go. And so, yeah. That's an over for me, 26 and a half.
That is a bet I will likely be adding as well. I play it, I this entire season, or even regular season, he's been looking to run more just because the receivers have had more problems trying to get separation. So that's probably what I'll be betting as well. I've betted in Super Bowls past as well.
Yeah, we just got to withstand the kneel downs. The old Patrick Mahomes.
That burned me once.
Exaggerated kneel downs. Kelly will do his later. JVT's going to join us, our senior NBA analyst, his Super Bowl thoughts as well. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game. It's a VSiN Super Week. Skill Alexander, it's Kelly Bidlin, live from Maracanada, the barrage. Here at the D, this segment presented by DiGiorno. It's not delivery, it's DiGiorno. Jonathan, you like that?
Love some DiGiorno. Okay. Boom.
Just curious. Jonathan Montobel joins us, ladies and gentlemen. He is our senior NBA handicapper. He's the co-host of Hardwood Handicappers, the podcast that he does with Kelly Bidlin, with Zach Cohen, with the likes of. And he joins us now to talk not only basketball, but Super Bowl 58 as well. How you doing, JBT?
I'm fired up, guys. Once I'm done with you, I'm going to hit in the car and go down to Radio Row. I'll be there all week. It's my first Super Bowl Radio Row of my career, so I'm very excited to check out everything and be out there all week. So I'm fired up, man. It's a good week.
All week, 5 days for JBT. All right, before we get, let's hold the Super Bowl 58 thoughts because I want to get to your couple NBA questions, a few NBA questions for you. Steph Curry dropped 62 in a loss on Saturday night to the Hawks. What is your theory as to what is going on with all of these 60-plus, 70-plus games in the NBA?
Well, so I'm very pro NBA. So I think when I watch, I'll tell you guys that first off, look, there's probably a sense of playing in a regular season and we're getting to that wonky part of the year, right? Like these guys see a week off coming up in the horizon. So maybe the effort's not fully there, but I do think that we're at a peak when it comes to skill level, guys. Like we're watching these guys make these plays. It's not like Curry's uncontested in a lot of these shots. And look, that was a very bad defense that he faced, but these are some high level shot makers that we're watching perform out here every single night. And we're getting numb to some of the other great performances, Gil. So I just think that we're looking at the NBA kind of at the peak of its powers when it comes to guys playing this game since essentially they were born all the way up into this point. And the way that you play has changed. And I think that's why we're getting here in terms of some of these scores. And it's amazing because the other night I was watching Milwaukee and Dallas. You know, I watched the game. All right, cool. Bucks come back. They lose. The Mavericks lose a big lead. And then I look at the box score at the end of the game. I'm like, oh yeah, Luka almost had a 40-point triple-double. And like, I wasn't even registering it the whole time when I was watching it. Like, this is just the NBA nowadays.
If you ever want to wow your friends, obviously you could do the whole thing. Like how many people, name all the players that have scored 70 a game, name all the players who scored 60. If you want to do the name all the players who have scored 50, you would be shocked at who lucked themselves into a 50-point game. Tracy Murray, Willie Burton, I'm talking about you. Thursday is not only NFL awards night, it is also the NBA trade deadline prior to that, specifically at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon on Thursday here on the West Coast. James Harden obviously traded already. already. Pascal Siakam to Indiana. Anunoby to the Knicks. Is there another trade of consequence that could move your needle that could happen here?
I mean, I think the obvious one is like DeJounte Murray, right? Like that's a big name that could be moved, that could help some teams out. But, you know, Kelly and I and Zach and I have talked about this on the podcast before, Gil. For me, I think some of the trades that could really shift the landscape are guys that actually aren't going to change the probability of a team winning a championship. Like, so for example, I'll stick with the Hawks. If Bogdan Bogdanovic goes somewhere, I think he could be a massive piece for anybody. For Minnesota, for example, has been named as a team that could potentially be sniffing around Bogdan Bogdanovic. That's massive because he is a good defensive two guard who shoots extremely well, who can help a team that's average on offense, who really struggles when games start to slow down and get choppy, especially in crunch time. And so would Bogdan Bogdanovic going to Minnesota make their odds go from where they're at to like the favorite? Absolutely not. But would that move make a difference for me in a best of seven series against certain opponents? I would say absolutely. So I think those are the names I'm looking out for. Where does Tyus Jones go? Where does Bogdan Bogdanovic go? Are they going to the right places where they fit perfectly and could push them back and push them past a certain mark? And really quickly, I'll go to last offseason, Gil. Last offseason, the Denver Nuggets got Kentavious Caldwell-Pope and they got Bruce Brown. Those are not two moves that really push the needle. They're not going to change your odds to win a title. Those guys were part of the reason why they won that title. Those are the moves that I think I'm looking for, the ones that are a little under the radar that won't really move the market too much.
All right. The other thing that happened, of course, we've been tracking the whole Joel Embiid MVP odds all week last week. Well, now he is off the board because the reigning league MVP undergoing a procedure to address a left meniscus injury. Doctors won't know how long he'll be out until they actually do the procedure. Does this trigger a bet at all in the MVP market for you in any way?
Yeah. I think that the ship has probably sailed a little bit. I know Kelly's got some stuff on Giannis to win MVP at double digits. He's right now at 7-1. I still wouldn't say no at like 7 or 8-1 if you can find it. And you look, and I'm ready for it. Kelly's already got the ticket. You call me a homer all you want. I don't give a damn. If you go back since the beginning of December, and Kelly knows where I'm going with here, Kawhi Leonard's been playing some of the best basketball in the NBA, and he's on a team, Gil, that could win the one seed in the Western Conference. And the best part is you're starting to see media members bring up his name when it comes to winning the award. And I think that's kind of what you want. He's still at 100-1 to win the award. But if you're talking about maybe taking a shot on a guy who has been playing consistent basketball, who has the attention of the people who will decide this award, it would be a guy like Kawhi Leonard who has been playing on the team that could all of a sudden, when you look up, be the one seed in the Western Conference if you wanted to take a shot. But I think for me, if we're talking about highest probability, my money would be on Giannis Antetokounmpo.
One of my favorite things these days, JVT, is the borderline anger with which you talk about the Clippers now, like in your face, dude, to everybody else. It's all.
I'm setting myself up and I'm totally ready for if it falls apart, I'm ready to take it back. Like that's my, I think, one of my strengths. I'm ready to get it back if it falls apart. But I don't know if you guys saw the clip of that Tennessee-Kentucky game where they showed in the stands and there was this guy just talking this woman's ear off and she looked like as bored as possible. And it was just like 30 seconds of him just talking at her. You had no idea. Like that's me to the rest of the world when it comes to the Los Angeles Clippers. I'll just sit there and rattle off things over and over again until they get this done.
Six games in the NBA tonight. Do you have a play or plays, sir?
Yeah, I got a couple. They tie. So I've got three bets tied into two games here. First off, Warriors money line at +110. So we talked about the scoring for Curry. This has been kind of a bigger picture here for the Warriors, guys, that since Draymond Green has come back, they've been playing some really good basketball. You know, over the last six games, offensive rating of 122.9 in non-garbage time, an effective field goal percentage of 60.9. They're absolutely brilliant. Their half-court offensive rating, 109.4. That's elite. Draymond Green is a really good defender, but he also helps them offensively. And you look at Brooklyn, no Ben Simmons. Kelly, I think, had a really solid joke. We were talking about it, that he gets to, you know, average near triple double this season after just coming back for like one game. But I think without Ben Simmons in the half court, without Dorian Finney-Smith, lacking a lot of wing defenders, you're going to see, I think, a really good push here from this Warriors offense. Has been playing well. Market's moving in their direction. Wouldn't be surprised if they go off as a favorite. So I would say play the Warriors money line there. And then I had two bets in Clippers Hawks. I went Hawks team total over 119.5 and Hawks money line at +135. This is a brutal spot for LA, guys. It's the third game of four nights, no rest, and the last game of a 7-game road trip that has spanned over nearly 2 weeks. And they've been great on this road trip. But to see the trip back home kind of coming on the horizon, some days off after you play New Orleans when you get back into LA, and a Hawks team that's been playing really well in the midst of their own 6-game homestand. So I think scheduling-wise, the Hawks make a ton of sense. They're also a team that bothers a team like the Clippers. They don't like to get run out in transition. They're actually a below average team in transition defense. They don't like speedy point guards. They got one in Trae Young. I think all of this leads to Hawks team total over and a little bit on the money line at about +135.
All right.
I couldn't do it. I had it circled for days, JVT. Couldn't do it. Your Clippers are just a wagon right now, man. I can't get in front of them.
They are. But go ahead, Kill.
No, you go ahead.
Well, no, I want to say I think the argument for the Hawks, Kelly, would be that at the very least, while the Clippers have been a wagon, the Hawks have been taking care of the situational spots that they have been. Right. Remember, they got the Lakers the other night on the second leg of back to back. No rest. They dismantled them. They've been playing really well in the spots that they have to. And I think there's still a shot that maybe somebody rests here on the last game of a road trip with no rest. So maybe keep that in mind.
Just want to point out to everybody who's worried, Ben Simmons did avoid a serious injury to the knee. It's just minor swelling.
Okay.
Yeah. Good God.
And again, could end another season with near averaging near a triple double.
Absolutely. Yeah, all right, Super Bowl 58. You're going to Radio Row, JVT. Give us your elevator speech on this game.
The San Francisco 49ers are going to win the Super Bowl. I think that's the case. I think when you look at everything that the 49ers can do in this matchup, when you're talking about a Chiefs defense, guys, that I've called it like on the edges, right? They're very good. When you're talking about the ability to rush the passer, your corners are absolutely brilliant. But where they've had a weakness is up the middle. We have seen it now time and again, and you see it in the numbers where they're ranking about 23rd to 26th in multiple different run defense metrics. I think this sets up for the 49ers to have a really big game on the ground for Christian McCaffrey, Elijah Mitchell, and the two-headed monster, little slash and dash kind of combination where you can actually have some success, control time of possession, limit the opportunities for Brock Purdy to potentially put the ball in danger, even though I don't think he would. And you've got a lot of weapons here to go at a really stacked secondary against Kansas City. And on the other end, guys, like if you actually kind of look at this playoff run for Kansas City, if there's some nuance to it, you look at the 400 yards against Miami, you look at the 7.7 yards per play against Buffalo, and you go, well, yeah, those are some pretty beat up defenses. And then when you face Baltimore, you got off to a good start, but then you got shut out in the second half and you only averaged 4.4 yards per play. You did the exact same thing that we've seen all postseason, all season long. And so I think when you talk about this matchup overall, there's a lot of different things that I think work in favor of the San Francisco 49ers here. So I like the 49ers. I do have a Kansas City future at 7-1 to win the Super Bowl. So I'll be working my way off of that a pretty good amount because I do think the 49ers are the side, and then all the props will fall in line with that. And then some minus EV props just for fun because, you know, it's a Super Bowl and why not?
That's right. Unabashedly. I'm with you on the Niners. Like, I think I've convinced myself the Niners are winning this too. But real quick, and I get that you have the future on the Chiefs. Does the schedule disparity bother you at all? The fact that the Chiefs have just beaten a gauntlet of teams and the Niners, if you go back, I mean, it's not that impressive of a schedule that they got through.
Yeah, I don't think it does entirely, Gil, because, you know, as I mentioned, like when you talk about the advantages that Kansas City have from a health perspective for two of them, I think that really helps you out. And I also think, too, when you look at beating Baltimore, not to take away anything from it, if Baltimore, I don't know, hands it off more than six times to their running backs, maybe we're talking about Baltimore in the Super Bowl. Yeah. So I think they benefited from a pretty poor game plan offensively by their opponent, too.
Boy, I'll say. JBT, appreciate it. Enjoy Radio Row, sir.
Yeah, you got it. I'll see you guys at the end of the week, right?
Yes, sir. Thursday and Friday, we'll be there. Jonathan Montoble, everybody, at MeJVT, our senior NBA analyst, and, of course, co-host of Hardwood Handicappers, on his way to Radio Row. We'll come back. More Super Bowl 58 talk. We'll get through Kelly's props. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN Super Week. Keep listening for analysis from some of the sharpest bettors in Vegas.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game live from Bar Canada. This segment brought to you by Bayer Aspirin, the official sponsor of Fans Hearts. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. We get tweets, Kelly, at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. This is from Mr. H, talking about the Beating the Book lifestyle podcast, a tradition like no other, he says. Bill Krakenberger chiming in on it. That was nice of Crack. He said this is a must listen, talking about the Vegas Lifestyle Pod, the 13th annual edition of it. My one non-sports betting exclusive podcast of the year at the Beating the Book feed. He said this is a must listen if you enjoy traveling to Vegas and want to get the inside word on how to get the best of your vacation. Travel Zork chiming in as well on it. This is from S69. I hope I'm saying that right. I've never been to Vegas, but coming soon. I love the 13th annual Vegas Lifestyle Show. Some amazing information that you put out. Thank you. Thank you for listening. Mark Hansen, my wife and I just binged American Nightmare on your recommendation during ANG. What a great, frustrating watch. Thank you so much. You are welcome. Joe Abraham, I hadn't known of the Vegas Lifestyle Podcast until now, so I thought it would be interesting to start with the first one. Wow, 2012 seems as if it was 50 years ago in terms of prices, play, places, etc. And then to hear you say here in San Francisco, just wild. 12 years ago. So 13 of these we have done. It's just incredible. What a ride. And yes, the difference in the prices being the most stark. This is from Brian. He says, belated shout out to Paul Carr for the Tottenham draw pick this past weekend. That was awesome. Plus 275 from young Paul Carr. On and on with the tweets. We appreciate it very much at Beatty the Book. One bit of coaching cleanup to do this morning. Washington, which was the last team, the Commies, last team to fill their head coaching vacancy with Dan Quinn late last week. They have filled their coordinator spots, Kelly. Cliff Kingsbury, who, by all reports, looked to be headed to Las Vegas to be their OC. Nope. Contract talks broke down on Saturday. He is the OC in D.C. See what I did there?
I do.
You know who the D.C. in D.C. is now?
Who?
Joe Witt Jr., who worked under Dan Quinn in both Atlanta and Dallas on the defensive side. He's never been a coordinator before. So it's Kingsbury and Witt. Quit, if you will, in D.C. Now, with all this coaching stuff, whether it's head coaching or coordinators, I'll be the last one to speculate as to what's going to work and what's not going to work. But the speculation from that hiring of Kingsbury has been twofold. Some people are like, oh, they're going to make a run at Justin Fields now, which to me would be the most ridiculous thing in the world if Washington traded the house to get to number one to get Justin Fields. I just don't think you do that.
Caleb Williams, you're talking.
Well, that was this is the other one, was the Caleb Williams thing. So the fact that Cliff Kingsbury worked with, you know, Caleb Williams at USC, he was the quarterback's coach, and he was the senior offensive analyst over there at USC. Now the speculation is, by the way, Caleb Williams went to Gonzaga High School in D.C. For those familiar with that area, he didn't grow up in D.C., grew up in Bowie, Maryland, but he and his parents got an apartment in Northwest D.C., went to Gonzaga in high school before going to Oklahoma, and then obviously on to USC. So that's the other speculation, like, oh, is this their play? You know, because Caleb Williams, some, you know, are like, I don't know that he wants to play in Chicago, that kind of thing. I don't know about any of that, Kelly, quite frankly. I just think they got their guy. If not at head coach, they certainly got their guy for OC, I guess, now. That's a little more of a splash than their head coach made. And I don't know. I think in the end they stay at two. If I'm a betting man, which I am, I think they stay at two and they grab either Drake May or Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, I mean, it's fascinating. Don't get me wrong. Like, especially with everything that happened with the Raiders. Like, okay, you like kind of it seemingly pulled out of talks at the 11th hour, right, of ending up here in Vegas. To be the OC for the Raiders, you end up in Washington. I understand why people are trying to connect these dots, but it just depends on what the Bears are going to do. And you, if anything, it feels like you lose a little leverage. Like we've talked about this before of, you know, I mean, the Bears controlling that and how they're going to ask for so much for someone to move up. And now, okay, if you actually think a coaching hire like this signals you to make a move, you're even kind of losing more of your leverage, right? Because it's more obvious that you want to make that move to get up there and get Caleb Williams.
I also just like it's the arrogance of thinking you know what the outcome of these quarterbacks is going to be. No one knows.
No. Yeah.
No totally. One knows. I'll tell you, you know what, this is how ridiculous it is. You know what the biggest thing most of my Skins fans friends say? They're like, I didn't like the way he cried on his mom's shoulder. It's just like everybody's got their thought on what's the most significant thing. The arrogance to think any franchise that this guy is absolutely going to be better than this other guy. I just don't think you make a trade like that. And so I think you stay at two. The Bears do what they want at one. And you take what's left. Don't trade other assets. Don't do that. But anyway, that's the latest with the Skins coordinators there.
Draft's going to be fun, man. Like there are so many. I can't wait to make some bets already. Like this wide receiver class is ridiculous. I still think my guy Keon Coleman's getting slept on a little bit too much there. Like, I can't wait till we get some more props posted.
I have these CJ Stroud to go number one tickets. Where do I go for these? Oh, it's over.
You know what I would like to cash those?
Yeah. We're going to cash those. I have lots
large
of
amounts of money.
Big plus money. All right. Kelly has his. I gave my my prop plays and my Super Bowl plays earlier. Kelly has some that he's made already. You have added, sir. What did you do?
Yes, I have. All right. Let's start at the top. I don't even know what all I went over last week. For the game, I got Chiefs plus 2.5. And then I've got that little same game teaser. Chiefs up to 8 and then under 54 is where I'm on. And there is not... I don't know about you, game-wise. I mean, you have your exact. Gameways, I don't really have that much exposure.
I did nothing on side or toe.
Yeah, I'm just yeah. Hey, these are pretty standard unit plays for me. I had more on NBA yesterday than I will have on those on the Super Bowl side. Pacheco over 66 and a half rushing yards is my biggest bet that I have made so far of anything. So I do really like that. Played over 66 and a half. Did play the alt here at circa 100 plus for plus 395. I think since I've played those, Gil, I'll be probably adding a Pacheco MVP bet as well. Just I think those all stagger correctly. If I'm going to hit 100 plus, it puts them far more likely to hit MVP. I should probably snag a longer number on that and add that to the portfolio as well. Kyle Juszczyk, I mentioned this multiple times last week. I think I did make these when we talked over bets on Friday. Props on Circa for even posting these, because there is. I don't think I saw these posted at any other book here in town. I believe DraftKings has Juszczyk's receiving prop up, and I've seen that a couple other places.
I scoured for Juszczyk props at DraftKings, and they were not everywhere.
Most books do not have stuff up, yeah. And I get it, because they have the easy excuse is, okay, Kyle Juszczyk doesn't do enough in this past season, hasn't really done enough for us to go post prop numbers on him. And then the counter for some of us bettors is we've seen Kyle Juszczyk in big games and Super Bowls get worked into game plans like he's never been utilized before.
You got over half a rushing yard at plus 270.
Still here,
man.
I don't think that number's moving.
Going right behind.
Yeah, exactly.
Me.
I need one goal line carry, one whatever carry. Yep. Move McCaffrey out on some motion or something and run him up the gut. I like that. Having said that though, Gil, I do think if you do see a book out there that has rushing plus receiving on him, that's probably the way I'd play it, because it will be limited touches. We know that. It's going to be 1, 2, 3 touches we're talking about, probably for Kyle Juszczyk, I hope. George Kittle, I played over his receiving prop. Matt Brown talked about it on Friday. It was kind of one I was leaning towards already. But like him over 46 and a half. I think Matt made a great point too. The early, last week over the weekend, I think were times where you could still add some overs. I don't know about you, but shopping around some of these player prop numbers over the weekend, you could see some big differences shop to shop. So there was kind of a clear, some numbers clearly on the move at some shops. And I think this is the week where we'll start looking at some unders. There'll be some value on that side. But Kittle over his receiving prop. JVT just hit on it a little bit too. I know some people have got Debo circled for this, but a little bit of weakness in the middle of that Chiefs second linebacker and corner secondary. Thinking Kittle's going to find some room over the middle, and Purdy, you know what the corners can do on the outside for the Chiefs. I think we're going to start things off with a lot of McCaffrey, a lot of running game. Let's get Purdy worked in with some easy throws over the middle. I think there's an easy path to Kittle getting over that number in this game. And then Mahomes MVP, we talked about this a lot last week. I wasn't rushing to play this heavy, but at plus 150, and this was either Circa or Westgate, I don't remember, here in town, just off market enough, Gil, here, that I felt like I needed to add it as a bet. I'm on the Chiefs side anyways, so pretty heavy correlation there, even though we talked about, I think there's a possibility some other guys could win, but Mahomes still by far the most likely, so added him at plus 150. And there it is, Blue Gatorade. It is the best Gatorade, so we're betting it at plus 350. It has hit 3 of the last 5 years.
That's the handicap. It's the blue is the best.
The blue is the best. We're gonna break it down more this week.
Oh, okay.
I shouldn't even included that on this on my picks yet, but wanted to get that out there for people. There's a Gatorade deep dive, and you all know blue is the best color.
We've done Reba. More Usher speculation coming, and apparently later this week, a deep dive into Gatorade from Kelly Bidlin. I have a tennis play. The line has gotten away from us a little bit. That's why it pays to get on VSiN.com/subscribe. VSiN.com/picks for those. We'll get that next. And Adam Burke next.
For week, keep listening for analysis from some of the.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game, live from Bar Canada here at the D. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. This segment is presented by 1-800-Flowers.com. That's 1-800-Flowers.com. DraftKings official flowers for Valentine's. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, as I mentioned. Got a tweet from somebody who asked, if I had a chance to see the, this is from Paul. Well, Paul Medina says, can you pin the headphone cord behind your back asking for a friend? Nash, last name Nash, said, did you catch the 60 Minute segment last night? And curious if you had any thoughts. I didn't. Did you? It was on sports betting. I did not.
No. I mean, I've seen ESPN running like a 17-part series on it, but no, I didn't see 60 Minutes.
I was too busy. Too busy being told, first of all, I forgot the Grammys was even on. That right beforehand, someone mentioned, oh, the Grammys are on. So I spent my night waiting for Rodrigo to come on. That's all I did. Jay-Z crapping on the Grammys while winning a Grammy was a highlight. And then calling Tracy Chapman legendary was my, I was like, she had one song. How's she legendary? I think it was Will Hill. Will Hill said, he goes, it's like calling Brady Anderson legendary. It's the sports equivalent.
So what was the 60 Minutes piece on?
It's on sports betting. I don't know. I didn't see it. Okay. But I saw enough of the trailer to apparently not be interested. I shouldn't say that without watching it, but that was kind of my intake. Yeah. But I shouldn't judge it without seeing it. Adam Burke joins us, ladies and gentlemen. He's the glue that holds this entire operation together. Don't let anybody tell you any differently. He joins us now. VSiN senior writer. How you doing, man?
Good. Good to actually find a time when I can hop on with you guys.
Yeah, because during baseball season, it's a pain for you, right? Because there's too many games and it just doesn't work out for your schedule.
Yeah, and I got to be honest with you. I feel like I'm behind already on baseball because I haven't even really touched anything with the sport yet. And of course, you know, usually by the end of February, early March, I have my season preview guide out. But there's still a lot of free agents left out there. So I'm just trying to kind of wait for more of the quote unquote hot stove news to come down. But it was a rough baseball season last year. So I don't know, maybe I'm just avoiding it because of that.
No, you'll bounce back, I'm sure. But you're right. It's funny how like huge names are out there and baseball is just sort of the forgotten son of all of this. You do such a great job, Adam, with the website in every possible capacity. Could you let folks know just off the top what is available regarding Super Bowl 58 specifically right now?
Yeah, so right now we have a lot of our general, more generic articles out in terms of looking at rushing props, receiving props, defensive special teams, passing props, stuff like that. Kind of looking at, you know, things from more of a macro perspective. And then this week, you know, our premium Super Bowl betting guide will come out tonight. That'll have prop bets from hosts. That'll have Brent Musburger's pick, first touchdown article from producer Stephanie Kammershack. We'll have an MVP debate between myself, JVT, and Zach Cohen. So we're really looking forward to putting that guide out here later on tonight. We do have some best bets across the website. Tyler Shoemaker is going to have his this week. I'll have mine. Steve McInnes is already up. Wes Reynolds, Matt Humans, they'll contribute as well. So we'll have all that coming out this week. Really what we did was, I mean, there's 2 weeks before the game, right? So this week is all about picks. Last week was all about setting the stage for the Super Bowl here coming up on Sunday.
How do you personally feel about Super Bowl 58? What are your thoughts on the game?
Well, I think the side and total are pretty reasonable, honestly. I mean, I don't think that there's a whole lot of value to be had, nor should there be, you know, with that being a standalone game, the most scrutinized game of the NFL season. I think there's, you know, potentially some equity. I've seen some people kind of float this idea, tease the Chiefs up, tease both sides of the total, get yourself, you know, a 12-point middle on the total in this game where you've got over 41.5 and then under 53.5. There's a lot of key numbers that this thing could fall under. And I don't think Kansas City gets blown out. I don't know if they win, but I don't think they'd lose this game by over a touchdown. So I think there's maybe a measure of equity in doing that if you're just looking specifically at the side and the total. But for me, you know, it's always about the prop markets. I think that's where you find the best value a lot of times in any game nowadays with the prop options that are available, but especially the Super Bowl. And I'll be looking at, you know, Elijah Mitchell over rushing attempts because I think San Francisco will be very, very ground heavy in this game, which would mean I'll be looking at, you know, some guys in the back seven for Kansas City from a tackles and assists prop standpoint. And I think the one thing that may be a little bit different about this game that you don't typically see in a run heavy game, San Francisco likes to run outside a lot and they like to give the ball to Debo Samuel on some of those sweeps. I think this is a game where maybe the corners for Kansas City wind up with a few more tackles than they normally would just because San Francisco does like to run outside the tackles so much. So that's a situation where typically I would look linebackers and safeties only, but I may be looking at some defensive back tackle props in this one as they're going to have to help out against the run.
I'm putting you on the spot for this, and I don't know how much you want to give away because obviously VSiN.com is going to, you have culled together everybody here at the networks, their favorite prop bets. Was there one that like you stuck in your head when you were reading through them yet?
You know, one thing I think a lot of people have kind of gravitated towards, you know, look, the Chiefs have Patrick Mahomes, right? And the thought process for a lot of people here is, you know, not betting against Mahomes as an underdog and, you know, not taking the ball out of 15's hands because he's the best player on the team and all of that. But I will tell you, in sort of looking at a cross section of what our VSIN hosts and some of our contributors think, there's a lot of love for Isaiah Pacheco out there. So that was something that kind of, I don't want to say caught me off guard, but it was definitely something that stood out that you will see Pacheco's name quite a bit, I think, in that premium guide that comes out tonight.
Was Kelly the guy who didn't attach his name to his Pacheco prop? Was he the culprit of that?
That was Matt Brown, oh. Primetime Action co-host.
There it is. Had to be Matt. Both of them do like Isaiah Pacheco over on the rushing yards, correct? Okay, let's shift over to college basketball because I know it's something you follow. And before we get into the weeds on something, it's always a good sort of heat check to take because most of our texts that we throw around now have shifted over to college basketball, me and my buddies. Give me the group of teams that, or if it is a group, maybe it's only a couple, that you feel right now, like if you had to make a national championship bet, who do you land on?
To be honest with you, Gil, it's not really a market I concern myself that much with because I think there's a lot more equity in betting the smaller conference teams throughout the course of the college basketball regular season. And, you know, I was actually thinking about it today where it's a really ugly slate, a lot of MEAC and SWAC and Southland basketball and all of that. I was thinking about it today, you know, Kansas and Kansas State, Miami and Virginia, the only two games that are going to get a lot of betting action tonight. And I really haven't bet on or against any of those teams or done much in those two conferences. So I started thinking to myself, I'm actually going to be at a little bit of a disadvantage when we get to March Madness because I'm not really going to be as familiar with all of those teams as I am from, you know, slogging through the mud of the Ohio Valley Conference or something like that.
So no plays today? Is that what you're saying in college hoops?
The one play I do have for today, Idaho is an underdog against Sacramento State out there in the Big Sky. So the Big Sky Conference has this little scheduling quirk where teams will play three games in 5 days. They'll play Thursday, Saturday, Monday. Idaho is in one of those situations, and I think that's what's driven this line up to 4.5. But I think Idaho is the better team. Idaho is the deeper team. They did play on Saturday. They beat Montana State, but they had, I think, 7 or 8 guys play at least 11 minutes in that game. So I don't think that the quick turnaround is going to be as bad for them as the market is pricing it out to be. And Sacramento State just, to me, doesn't deserve to be a favorite of that size against anybody. So I like Idaho tonight getting the 4.5.
All right, let's stick with your theme of not going for the entire national title, but smaller conferences. Come March, when conference tournaments happen, is there a team paired with a certain conference that might be a long shot to win their tournament that you might tell us right now, keep an eye out for blank in this conference?
Well, in terms of a long shot, I mean, I can tell you some teams that I like, and I'll try to think of a long shot as I'm going here. I think Eastern Washington is very, very dangerous in the Big Sky. And not only that, I think they're very dangerous if they get to the NCAA tournament. They shoot the three remarkably well. I actually faded them on Saturday night against Montana because of their three-point percentage stats, both on offense and defense. They went on the road and beat a pretty good Grizzlies team by 13. So that was a really nice win for Eastern Washington. They're a dangerous team. If St. Thomas can make it out of the Summit League, the St. Thomas Tommies out of Minnesota, they're a team, they play at a very slow pace, but they shoot the ball very, very well from the outside. They're not the greatest defensive team, but they are one of those teams that can really frustrate a major conference opponent by slowing the game down, by making a bunch of threes. So those are two teams I think will be pretty dangerous if they are able to make it to March Madness. I guess one mid-major I could throw out there that I think is pretty interesting as we kind of go forward here. I'm taking a very, very close look at a team like Northeastern out of the CAA. They don't have great stats. They're not a particularly great regular season team right now, but they take a lot of really smart shots. They like to get to the rim. They don't take a lot of mid-range jumpers. I kind of like their shot selection when you talk about a neutral site tournament where they're not going to be reliant on a bunch of outside shots. So that's typically what I'll be looking for. Teams that get to the rim, teams that shoot a lot of threes, that shoot them at a pretty good percentage. I like to look at shot selection a lot in college basketball, and that matters even more when you get to these neutral site conference tournaments.
Adam, appreciate it so much, man. Always great to see you.
Absolutely. Have a good one, guys.
Adam Burke, everybody, at the great Twitter handle that is Skating Tripods, by the way, managing editor at VSIN. We couldn't do any of this without him, and I'm being serious. He does so much great work on the print side, in addition to his on-air stuff. By the way, the tennis play for the day, Taro Daniel. They're playing indoor hards in Dallas starting this week. I gave it out at VSiN.com/picks yesterday. When I did, it was minus 135. He's taking on Constant Lestienne. You know Constant Lestienne, Kelly, the French player.
Taro Daniel, minus 150 at draft.
Yeah, it's minus 152, minus 150, somewhere in there. I wouldn't play it higher than minus 145, quite frankly. So if it bounces back a little, then it should trigger play. Taro Daniel. Coming back with more NFL next.
This is VSiN Super Week. Keep listening for analysis from some of the sharpest bettors in...